Good morning and happy Sunday, and welcome to On the Weekend Edition. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, and I am going to be here for about an hour giving you news from the week that has gone by and current events. And also, today I'm excited. Listen, the last 3 weeks, I've had some pretty heavy stuff on. I've had suicide, I've had divorce, I've had teen drug addiction, I've had addiction in adults with my boy Chip from last week. And I've gotten great feedback from all of those shows. But I got to be honest, it's been a little heavy. And you know, I just wanted something more positive, something light. And I said, you know, let me call my boy Kyle. Kyle Arrington is one of the most positive people that I know. He is a Super Bowl champion, formerly of the New England Patriots, but he's also a former cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, he has since retired from the NFL, and during that time, he not only has done some amazing things to help his family and himself flourish, but he's also done some amazing things for the community and in particular young people. So I called Kyle up and I said, hey, listen, will you come on to the show and share with us some of the things that you've done in your life as a football player and also what you're doing with your life now that your football career is over, which to me is making a bigger mark than he ever did as a football player. And he was a really, really good football player. So I'm really, really excited to have Kyle here today and very thankful that he decided he would come on. And also, of course, we're going to hear from the Petty. He's going to give us our NFL picks for the week. And I'm going to do what I like to do best, and that's start off with some news and some current events from the week that has gone by. So I hope you're feeling great, because I'm feeling great and I've got lots of things to tell. So let's get right to it. Well, for me and many other people in the city of Baltimore, one of the biggest things that happened last week on Monday was that after months of renovation, the world-famous Lexington Market in downtown Baltimore had a soft reopening. What that means is that they didn't have all of their food stalls open. They didn't have all of anything really open. They had 4 food stalls and I think 5 kiosks open. And that was just for people to get a feel of what it's going to be like, to get a look inside of this place, because it is going to be busy and bustling. Now, the CEO of Baltimore Public Markets, Paul Rupert, said that the market will host 50 stalls and 10 kiosks. And it's going to be mostly fresh food and prepared food with some non-food items as well. Things like books, fresh flowers, and even some jewelry will be sold there. You know, patrons came out, the ones that were allowed in, they came out and they gave their feelings about what it was like to be inside. And to a person, they all felt it to be overwhelming. One of the patrons actually cried because she remembers what it was like when she was a little girl. I remember what it was like when I was a little boy and smelling the fresh peanuts, which never actually tasted like they smelled, but still, those hot roasted peanuts, it was an amazing smell. And it was second to none for me. But she cried and talked about how important, you know, the market has always been and will continue to be to the city, and how happy she is that instead of doing away with the market, the city and state found money to renovate it. Now, 20 merchants are coming over from the old market, and there will be 30 new merchants. And the other great thing is the market has increased the number of stalls owned by African Americans and women. Rupert said that each week new stalls will open, and by spring of next year, it should be 100% full. In other local news, Fox 45 is reporting that with only 2 months left in the year, the Transportation Security Administration at BWI International Thurgood Marshall Airport set a record for the most guns caught in a single year. TSA detected 28 firearms at the airport security checkpoint so far in 2022, which surpasses the previous record of 27 caught in 2019. Now, 23 of the 28 recovered firearms seized were loaded, including 7 that were caught during a 10-day span from October 14th to October 23rd. According to TSA officials, the most common excuse given by travelers is that they claim they forgot that they had their loaded guns with them. Now, listen, bruh, sis, I don't care if you are the thuggiest of the thugs. I don't care if you are Mr. or Mrs. Important and you have a concealed carry permit. It does not allow for a firearm to be carried onto an airplane. And I'm going to tell you, the fine is hefty. It can be into the thousands of dollars. I mean, literally thousands. TSA reserves the right to issue a civil penalty of up to $13,900 to individuals who bring weapons with them to a checkpoint. And when an individual shows up at a checkpoint with a firearm, the checkpoint lane comes to a complete standstill until the police resolve the incident. Guns at a checkpoint will delay travelers from getting to their gates. So when you are packing and you forget that you have a loaded gun on you, quote unquote, and you show up to an airport, you are not just doing something silly to inconvenience yourself, you are potentially inconveniencing scores of other people. So for those who absolutely positively have to take their firearm everywhere they go, I don't know why, but for those who do, TSA says that travelers are allowed to transport their firearms as checked baggage if they are properly packed and declared at their airline ticket counter to be transported in the belly of the plane. Checked firearms must be unloaded, packed in a hard-sided case, locked, and packed separately from ammunition. So there you have it. That's how you travel with your weapon. It cannot be on you. It cannot be in your carry-on bag. It has to be checked at the ticket counter and declared. TSA has details on how to properly travel with a firearm posted on their website. And yes, firearm laws do vary from state to state, but one thing is universally clear in this country, from coast to coast. You cannot show up at an airport checkpoint with a loaded firearm. You will either do one of two things depending on the state. You will either incur a very, very hefty fine, or your ass will go straight to jail. Either way, it ain't gonna be a good day for you. So with the holidays coming up on us really, really fast, and we start to travel all over the place, when you pack to go see Bebe and them, keep your thinking cap on, and remember, keep your gun at home. All right, so this story right here, I'm torn, I gotta be honest. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm completely okay with it, but I'm not going to pretend that I'm completely offended by it either. Okay, you let me know what you think. Get at me at On with Brian Pettaway and let me know what you think, okay? But a public library in suburban Washington, D.C. hosted a drag queen story hour where kids were encouraged to sing and dance along to a drag queen version of If You're Happy and You Know It. Now, I know what you're thinking. Brian, why does it matter? It doesn't really matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter. But this was in the news and my job is to tell you what's in the news. The lyrics went, if you're a drag queen and you know it, strike a pose. Now, the host performer read from a book before standing up and doing so himself, and kids in the audience could be innocently seen doing the same thing and having a good time. So, listen, I don't run with the conspiracy theorist that left-wing extremists and LGBTQ extremists are trying to sexualize or over-sexualize our children. I don't believe that. But at the same time, why is this necessary? That's the part I don't get. What was ever wrong with if you're happy and you know it? That's the whole point. Is if you're happy and you know it, yo, clap your hands. That was it. Pick up your kids' spirits. Make sure they're happy. Tell them to clap their hands. Hooray, have a good day. And here's the bigger issue. With all of the things in the media already that the right-wing extremists are saying about what the left has done and are trying to do with our children in school in regards to things like critical race theory, we don't need to give them any ammunition to run with to now say that they're trying to over-sexualize our kids. I am a live and let live person. I mean, do what makes you happy. But there are some things, I believe, that are for adults. I just believe that. I think there are some things that are for adults. The term drag queen is not a child's term. I don't think it's something that is meant for children to be walking around talking about. That's just me thinking. Now, like I said, I'm on IG. Get at me at On with Brian Pettaway and let me know your thoughts. But I don't think that this is something that was very well thought out. And I think it was completely unnecessary. And my thoughts could stop right there. And I think that maybe people would think they were justified in thinking that. However, there is another train of thought here. If we're being fair and we're being honest, it is a very, very valid point. The Montgomery County Public Library event page listed that there was going to be an in-person drag queen story hour in June at the Aspen Hill Library. And it insisted that drag queen story hour captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity in childhood. And it gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. Okay, so here's the other side to that coin then. If I am a parent and I have a little boy that is 7 or 8, and I have noticed, because we as parents, if we love our children and we're active in their lives, we will know and we will notice whether we want to deny it or recognize it or not. If we see our little boy wanting to wear his sister's clothes more than his clothes, dabbling in his mother's makeup and trying to apply it, what do we do? What do we do with the little boy that's struggling with who he is inside and feeling more comfortable identifying as a little girl more than a little boy? What do you do with that? Well, some parents in that situation who want to love their children for who they are as opposed to who we would want them to be might look at this listing and say, oh my God, it's a support situation for my child. Let me take them there. And then that little boy who's struggling comes home happy and confident singing, if you're a drag queen and you know it, strike a pose. Now for those parents, that's a win. It's a win. So who am I who is not in that situation, have never been in that situation, and at this point in my life, will never be in that situation, who am I to say that this is wrong? So you see my dilemma. I am torn. I don't know. I really don't know. Please, on IG, get at me at On with Brian Pettaway and let me know what you think. Also in the news this week, Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was attacked with a hammer at the couple's San Francisco home. The intruder shouted, "Where is Nancy?" and he said he was going to wait for the speaker to return home. The 82-year-old Paul Pelosi underwent surgery for a skull fracture and serious injuries to his right arm and hands. President Joe Biden described the attack as despicable and directly tied to the growing strains of right-wing extremism. The suspect, David DePape, faces multiple felony charges, including attempted homicide and assault with a deadly weapon. This act of violence right here is ridiculously cowardly. And I can't even call this guy what I want to call him because, you know, this is a family show. But I hope they throw him under the jail because he was not looking for an 82-year-old man to beat in the head. He broke into that house looking for an 82-year-old woman to beat in the head. Now, thank God she wasn't in the home at the time, but she could have been. And that should never be a fear of any person because of their political affiliation. Just shouldn't be. But it's gotten so crazy in this country that this is where we are. And if they're not giving protection to the Speaker of the House after everything's gone on since the insurrection of January 6th, then we haven't learned any lessons from that day. And by the way, since we're talking politics, President Joe Biden and of course Vice President Kamala Harris will be here in Maryland November 7th, which is Election Day Eve. Remember, Election Day is November 8th. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week. Please be prepared to vote. Do not be deterred in any way from casting your vote and making your voice heard. Far too many people have been beaten and killed just trying to do what we take for granted. We take for granted so much that we have that right that we don't do it. You cannot be lazy about the vote, especially in these times. There is far too much at stake. All right, so like I was saying, Monday, the 7th of November, Election Day Eve, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will be here to support Wes Moore and Senator Chris Van Hollen. They will be here and they are going to be supporting. Now, Wes Moore has already gotten the endorsement of President Obama. I am trying very hard to get an interview with Wes Moore before the before Election Day. Now, obviously, it's a very busy time for him, but I'm talking to and working with his team, trying to carve out some time in his schedule and mine that jives so that we can have this interview. Now, he did this for me before the primaries, and it went very well. He's an incredibly gracious man with his time, especially if he believes that it can help other people. So I've got my fingers crossed. I do not want to count my chickens before they hatch, but things are looking pretty good, and hopefully I'll have that sit down with gubernatorial candidate Wes Moore soon. But what I'm about to do right now is talk to another gentleman who's doing big things in the DMV. He is a Super Bowl champion formerly with the New England Patriots, and he is also a former cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens. He was a great, great, great football player. I mean, he balled out when he played in the NFL. Didn't leave anything on the field with any game. He did the best that he could every time he played and took advantage of every opportunity that he had. And he's done the exact same thing in the second stage of his life with his career as a philanthropist, as an entrepreneur, as a mentor, as an author, and as an actor. Yep, all of these things he is, has done, and is continuing to do. And I think the second stage of his career, he'll tell you, is probably more satisfying than even winning the Super Bowl. He's helping young people do things that they never thought they could do. He's presenting opportunities to them that they never thought they'd have. And I'm incredibly proud to know the man and very appreciative that he has given me some time today. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Mr. Kyle Arrington. All right. Good morning, Kyle. And thanks for joining me here on 1500 Radio with On the Weekend Edition. It is such an honor to have you here. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, honor, pleasure is all mine, Brian. I appreciate you having me.
It's my pleasure, brother. Listen, as the season continues to go on, and I know that you probably pay close attention to it. Well, let me ask you this. Do you? I mean, did you play so long that now you just don't have an interest in it, or do you watch the games every Sunday like every other fan?
It's interesting because, when I originally retired, I was, one of those jobs. Anybody else can relate who retired from a job that they've done for decades, right? In this instance, play football for a few decades. And so at that point, I just kind of needed to take a step away from it. But now that I've transitioned back a little bit to sports broadcasting and things like that.
Right.
And so I'm paying more attention than I have in more recent years. I will say that.
Awesome. I wondered about that. I mean, I did. I know that if I do something for every day on the weekends, I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? So I didn't know if it was the same thing for you. But listen, how did you even get into it? Like, where did you grow up that influenced you to your decision to play football?
Well, Brian, I'm a Prince George's County kid, grew up in Akakik. which is awesome. Some people probably like, Aca what? Aca Key, so Southern Prince George is right on the border of Charles County. Those who are unfamiliar, you know, one horse town, maybe right. Two horses now at this point. but no, no, very, very, very rural, town. So I said it to say, no one really too much to do in terms of, you know, just hanging out, hanging with your friends. And I was one of those kids just, you know, happy to be around other kids, you know, just hanging, like I said, hanging out with my friends. And I wasn't really even crazy into sports, actually, but I didn't realize what I was missing until I was exposed to it.
Right. And how were you exposed to just school or?
No, so, like I said, just I wanted to be around hanging out with my friends. And so one summer I just kind of come out of the house and I'm thinking to myself, well, where's everybody? And then, you know, talk to one of my friends later and they all signed up to play, football. And so I said, well, if that's the case, you know, go ahead, sign me up too.
So at what point, Kyle, did you decide, you know what, I'm really good at this. Like, I might be able to play at another level, maybe even professionally. When did it get into your blood like that?
You know, I'm not sure if the thought occurred to me that, hey, the train might stop here, you know, at whichever level and transition, whether it be high school to college or collegiate to professional. I figured as long as there was an opportunity, I would make the most of it. You know, I was, I'll always be the first to admit that I was no prodigy or had God-given talent in any particular facet, but I've always been competitive. I had an undeniable work ethic and just a relentless, just being relentless in pursuing something that I wanted. And so when, you know, opportunity came as far as a pro day, and yeah, did well enough. You had a few teams come out there, and then I guess the rest was kind of history at that point.
It's weird because, you know, a lot of guys when they retire from professional sports, I mean, you see them later on in life, they're kind of swole up and just relaxing. Whenever I see you, you look like you could still play, like you're still in like playing shape. You know what I mean? Like, do you still do the same kind of regimen, the same kind of working out?
Well, you know, that's what happens when you have three little ones. You know, I have a 9, 7, and a 4-year-old. So me and the wife, we like to say we're right in the thick of it. It's, you know, just try to. Yeah, you never know when you got to go right or go left, you know, when it comes to your kids. But no, I mean, honestly, I think me personally, I was a gym rat before football really took off, with the idea of, you know, me being able to make a career out of it really took off. So, therefore, it's still really, I mean, it's a lifestyle for me, honestly. And so, you know, like I say, at the end of the day, health is wealth as well. So I'm just, you know, trying to be the best version of myself when it comes to my mind, body, and spirit.
Got you. So a lot of kids, you know, they realize that they're good at a sport early, and then that's all they concentrate on. You know, books be damned, everything else is. So when you are a prodigy, or you are being told, or you are being recruited heavily by coaches, whether it be in other high schools or colleges or professionally, if you were to talk to some of these young players coming out of these places, what would you tell them to look out for as far as pitfalls? What are the things that derail most of these young players the most?
Themselves. And I guess one word to come to mind would be distractions, would be a word to come to mind. And I know it sounds vague, but because there's so many of them, especially now, you know, the climate, the society we live in now, with social media being so prevalent. You know, I guess like I hinted at, I've been around players at each level far more talented than myself, but a lot of them just never gave themselves a chance, whether it be like grades or chasing after trying to impress a girl, or just, you know, doing something off the field that they had no business doing. And, you know, just discipline, as you have to be on the field, is even more monumental off of it, because, I mean, that's, you know, it's real life, which deals real life consequences. And I guess the way I looked at it coming up is that if it's not making me better and fitting with my mission, then it's not a priority. And I'm not saying don't have a life, you know, but, you know, the parties, the girls, or whatever it is, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Prioritize the purpose.
So it sounds like you had a really mature mindset at a very early young age as to what your goals were going to be and how you were going to achieve them. Was that the case? Is that what kept you out of trouble? Or did you just have really strict parents? Or were you just following something that somebody had set in stone for you?
You know, I didn't have overly strict parents. I didn't even have strict parents at all. But I had supportive parents. And so I would say that played an integral role into, you know, my upbringing, my mindset as well. I watched my parents go out and, you know, just sacrifice for our family each and every day.
Right.
And I just, you know, felt it, you know, at least at the very minimum that I could do was, you know, do what I'm supposed to do. That's go, you know, go to school, you know, make good grades, well, decent grades in my case.
Right.
Make decent grades, and just, you know, just have a good head on my shoulder, man, and make good decisions. And that's the way I've always carried myself.
Where did you go to high school?
The Gwynn Park. No, I'm not kidding. Gwynn Park High School and good old Brandywine, Maryland.
Okay, all right. So would you say that you were, and you can pat yourself on the back if it's the case, but would you say you were the best athlete on that team? Were you the best player on that team?
You know, it's funny you ask that question. I've even said it in a few times when I talk to different audiences and kids that, hey, look, I wasn't top five talent. I wasn't top five on my high school team.
Come on,
I wasn't top five on my collegiate. I'm being serious. This does not mean you're trying to be humble or anything. Like we had 18 scholarships my senior year, so we had a lot of great talent on that team. And but like I said, one thing people will say about me, if you ask me, I'm sure that, you know, they you'll never find somebody that would outwork me. So okay. that's you know, one thing I kind of always had going for me, at least.
Hard work, huh?
There's no substitute.
That's what I keep hearing. I don't know, maybe it'll pay off for me one day. I keep hearing about that, you know. So you make it through high school. You do very well. You get into, and you went to school. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Hofstra University.
Hofstra, there you go. Smart guy.
Yes, Long Island.
So you make it through Hofstra. At what point did you figure out, I might get drafted? Like, I might go to the next level?
I guess my senior year, and our head coach, you know, there's this, this agent where he kind of, you know, puts feelers out there, hey, you know, so it might have been four or five of us that, you know, potentially, you know, teams would have been looking at, and, you know, my name came up,
right,
and, you know, introduction with him, and then he kind of walked us through how, what to expect as far as the process goes. And then from there, like I said, hey, I just wanted to make sure that I, you know, did everything to, I guess just try to make hit this job as easy as possible. Same thing, like I said, being raised by my parents, and whatever, you know, to this day, whatever business venture I'm in, or whatever thing I'm a part of, you know, I put my stamp on. I just, like, I want to do my part, and, you know, try to make you know, other people's job easier.
Okay, all right. And when you, so the draft time comes around, and I always see on TV during draft season, you know, you see the kids sitting around the TV with their families and friends, or they're in New York. Which route did you take? Did you just sit around the TV and wait to hear your name called, or were you up in New York during the season?
Yeah. So the all of the conversations and I guess expectations concerning myself with the draft was, it was going, I was, you know, late round, right, maybe five, six, seventh round. So we weren't expecting anything on day one. But you know, that the family and friends came over on the second day, you know, for the later rounds. And I ended up getting a call, like, I think late in the sixth round, early seventh round, by Philly, and they were saying, hey, if you know, no one takes you at the end of at the end of the seventh round, you know, we want you to be our top priority free agent. And ended up, you know, not being drafted. And so there was, you know, signing with Philly right after the draft. And I was on my way to the camps now at Philly, you know, at the center, but I was on my way to Lehigh for training camp.
Right. Were you nervous? Were you scared? Like, was it just pure excitement? Or did you walk in thinking, you know what, I can do this? Or were there doubts? How did you feel?
I think emotions were all over the place. I think everything that you just named was, you know, something that I experienced. Mainly was that, you know, being a, you know, small fish now in the big pond.
Right.
Because if, you know, you think, I didn't have, you know, Alabama experience, Miami or anything like that. You know, a lot of those schools and I guess environments, you know, they kind of, you know, get you pro ready, set you up to be pro ready. So, you know, coming from a D1 AA, you know, school and program, who doesn't even have a football team, anymore at this point. I didn't really know what to expect heading into. All I know was, hey, you have this opportunity, and like I said, hey, well, you know, whether it works out or doesn't work out, I'm gonna make the most of it.
Yeah, and, and I think that's the most important thing. Like, if you're given an opportunity, always, always, always take that opportunity to make the best of it, because you never know who's watching. Even if the Eagles decided, you know what, he's not for us, there's somebody else watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's typically exactly how it goes. So what do you think?
You got 31 other teams.
There you, exactly. What do you think was the most immediate change in your life? What was the most immediate impact to your life becoming a pro football player, becoming a pro athlete? Did people treat you differently? Do you think you had to separate from other people? Did the money change your situation as far as how you were living? Like, what was the biggest impact?
You know what? To, I guess, answer your first question, fortunately for me, I always kept a small circle, of, people who I know have my best intentions, and likewise. So, once entering the league happened, I wasn't in a situation where, like, he changed, money changed. Because, like I said, success can breed envy. So it wasn't a situation for me where, like, oh, no, he's changed, or I'm looking up to other people, like, money changes them. And to be honest, I mean, what, you know, want that much money? You know, I wasn't actually drafted. Like I said, I was an undrafted free agent. So if I really, think about it, I would say the biggest thing for me was the way I had to earn my stripes made all the difference in the world.
Okay.
Being an undrafted free agent, it introduced me to the business side of the sport out of the gate.
Okay.
How expendable you are and can be at a moment's notice. So, a lot of guys don't experience that early in the career, if ever. You're used to being top draft picks and therefore treated a certain way, a better way, if you will.
Right.
So I'm glad my route was my route, because it gave me perspective, managed my expectations, and gave me a foundation.
Did you choose an agent, or did an agent choose you? Did you look for an agent at that point?
No. So I did have an agent at that time coming out of the gate from high school. Like I said, it was a local guy who worked with a lot of Hofstra guys coming out at that time. And so I was working with him as well coming out of college.
Okay. Along those lines, and I'm a slide this in, I'm going to ask you, what do you think? Do you think Lamar's going about this the right way? As far as the money situation, because you hear sports analysts say different things. Everybody has an opinion as to whether he's risking it all by not signing right now, or if he should or shouldn't. And I know it's a personal choice, but if you were in the same situation, what would you do?
That's a tough one, honestly, because I would never tell anybody to settle for something that they feel is not their worth.
Right.
And I mean, your worth, your worth is your worth. But to your, I guess I don't know if your point or other analyst point, and as far as striking, other school of thought is, striking while the iron is hot. I get that as well. But, I think that's ultimately a decision that just lies on the individual and whatever they're truly comfortable with. And it feels like he's comfortable with betting on himself. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
I agree with you 100%. If it's me, if I feel that about myself, I'm going to bet on myself. The only thing is you are in a collision sport at that point. And a collision the wrong way could take you out of the game. You know what I mean? So that's the only thing. Let me ask you this. When you were playing the sport, were you concerned? You're towards the end of your career, you're hearing all of these things about CTE, right? Were you concerned about it at all? Because you were tackling. You were hitting people. So did it concern you at all? Does it concern you now?
I guess I've always looked at it like it's a high risk, high reward kind of scenario.
Right.
When it comes to playing football. So what, once the risk outweighs the reward, and then this was the case in my situation, that's when you know it's time. But as far as CTE, I personally believe in positive affirmation. What you feed your soul is what you'll ultimately put out into the world. So something like that, hardly ever crosses my mind.
Really?
Wow. I mean, that no sense in dwelling on it. At this point, I feel like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I'm just trying to continuously be the best version of myself, and we all, you know, that includes evolving as well. So from now from football player to dad, husband, but now entrepreneur, philanthropist, business mindset. But even still, like if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's when it comes to everything. So. I stay on top of the preventative maintenance as far as the physical ailments, because a lot of things, man, will manifest, whether it be stress, whether it be physical ailments, and that will also affect your sleep, your mood. I mean, everything. So, right. Like I said, I try to really take a tactful approach on all of those areas, whether it be physically, psychologically, spiritually.
Well, listen, you have a Super Bowl ring, which many people in this country, in the world, can say that they have. And winning a Super Bowl, first of all, how did you even get to the Patriots? How did that even happen?
So I was, like I said, experienced that business side early. Released by Philly at the end of training camp. Well, actually, I'm sorry. So I made the practice squad first week, and I was released after the first game. They wanted to bring somebody else, and I'll never forget his name, but I'm not gonna say his name. and I actually ended up having a longer career. Longer career than he did. Okay. But I'll never forget his name. Who they got it released me for? But it part of the game, and so I ended up being on Tampa's practice squad that whole season. And so I ended up at least making the opening day roster. Baby steps, I guess. So I ended up making the opening day roster for Tampa. And then, but I guess, lo and behold, I was let go again after the first game. And so here I am thinking to myself, well, you're an undrafted free agent, small school guy. You had two bites of the apple. So you can't really be mad at anyone, but yourself. Right. And so, But my agent did get a call from New England and said, hey, we want you to come and work out. It was like maybe five other corners there, rookies, I think another veteran, one or two veterans. But they liked the way I moved the most, put me on their practice squad once again, give my opportunity week nine of the season, something like that. And I just tell myself, I just take a hard look at myself in the mirror, that night before going into the game, like, hey, this is it. This is, you've had not – two, but now three opportunities at this thing. So you got to, like you said, you got to leave it all out on
it's
the field.
It's all over, and, yeah.
Yeah, you got to leave it out on the field. No regrets, no anything. So that's what I did. The first game for them, just special teams. I led the team in tackles that game, and then ended up leading the team in tackles that season with only appearing in seven games.
Wow. You were hitting them, huh?
Like I said, it was grateful. I think one game I had five tackles on special teams. Played Jacksonville, ended up tying a record by a special teams legend, Larry Izzo. So anybody in the England community, I mean, that's a legend right there. And so to be that kind of company is very, very, very gratifying.
Now, were you married at this point?
Yes. I got married my second year in New England.
Okay.
To my wife.
So how did she feel about the cold of New England? Like, was she like, I ain't going to New England? I mean, it's a special kind of cold. You know what I mean? It's not for the faint of heart. I've experienced it. So how did she deal with it?
And it's definitely in my case, like I said, to go from Tampa to New England was definitely night and day in terms of climate. So she didn't move up right out of the gate,
and okay.
Mainly for that particular reason. But once we got pregnant, had our first kid, and really felt New England was gonna make a career out of this thing. New England was gonna be our home, at least for the foreseeable future.
Right.
We moved up, got a home, and well, actually made a house a home, if you will.
Okay. And so then and then New England makes the Super Bowl. When you really realize, hey, I'm going to do the thing. That's the pinnacle, other than the Hall of Fame, is winning a Super Bowl or getting to a Super Bowl. So Super Bowl weekend, when all the guys are out experiencing that life, where are you? Like, are you caught up in the whole Super Bowl thing, or are you just preparing for the game the next day?
So I had two opportunities to go while I was in New England. The first opportunity was in 2011. That was just a magical year. You know, I was unfortunately the year, Myra Kraft had passed. And so we wore the MHK patch dedicated to her. And that was also the year, led the league in interceptions. So,
right.
We also go to the Super Bowl, all in that same year, which just, like I said, just very, very, very surreal and just magical. Ultimately, we came up short, those pesky Giants once again. but that whole experience, like, just mentally, just, it was, I didn't let the moment, kind of outweigh the mission. Okay. Because, we still had, and that was for both instances, honestly. But I would just take, but at the same notion, at the same point, I was taking it all in, not taking this moment, not taking this experience for granted either. And so the second time around, 2015, we're in Phoenix, Seattle, and it was kind of like, what to expect. At least you know what to expect now. So you're not, not as green. And
right.
So my family been there, family coming once again, to us. So we all know what to expect. So we could be a little bit more business minded. Heading into this one.
And so you play in the Super Bowl. First of all, the 2011 Super Bowl, was that the David Tyree catch?
That was 07. That was 07.
All right. Okay.
And I was actually rooting against New England then. I remember that being I was still in college then myself.
Okay. All right. So
11 was the Manningham catch on the sideline.
Okay.
Gosh, I tell you, there's always some, Eli's gets bailed out by a great catch. No, let me stop.
Were you on the other side of the field, or were you on that side of the field?
No, I was on the other side of the field. Well, I got kind of in the middle of the field, so that was when, Victor Cruz kind of, burst on the scene.
Right.
Had a great, great career in New York in general, but definitely had a great year himself in 11. And that way I was, did a lot of work in the slot. And that's when I was, playing more slot corner myself as well. So me and him had a good matchup.
Okay, cool. So now you've won the Super Bowl, right? I'm assuming, did you go to Disney World?
I think they reserved that for the MVPs.
Okay.
Well, at least the free pass.
Right, there you go. So you win the Super Bowl, and did you go to the Pro Bowl that year?
No. In 15, I did not go to the Pro Bowl that year. But that experience, it's just very surreal. And really, almost hard to put into words. If you can imagine this, like you said, the pinnacle, the zenith. Put on those cleats as a little kid from the very beginning. Is something you think about, is a stage that you think about playing on and to win it and to be, I guess, forever immortalized in that kind of company, man. It's just, it's surreal. Like, it's just tough to put in words.
Right. How often do you wear your Super Bowl ring?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's such a, it's a conversation starter. I will say that. Not too often, because at a certain point they just need to start making watches. If it's big as they make those things. what conceivable? Maybe a gala or something, something like that here and there. But you just can't wear that thing, all just willy nilly.
Well, you eventually made your way to the Ravens, back to the area, correct?
Yeah. Back to Maryland and be able to play. Although at that time grew up a Skins fan, diehard my household
really
was, but still to be able to play with your home team state, your home team state team, and in front of your family, friends.
That's
your home
what
state.
I was going to say. That had to feel real good. That had to feel real good.
Yes, and I'm glad it happened to me later in my career and not out of the gate, because at that point I'm already a veteran on the back end of my career, and I already know how to approach, my craft and the business without the distractions.
Right. So now you're you retire from the sport, and you get into the private sector. How do you determine what you're going to do? Like, what burned inside of you to make you decide, I want to help youth and I want to start a program that's going to help the youth in this area? Like, what, how did that happen? And what businesses did you start?
Well, I said not a lot of people are aware of this, and I don't make it aware, and because I never want to be a victim of anything or a victim of any kind of circumstances. But I ended my career on a severe head injury. You know, I know we're talking about the whole CTE thing,
right.
And I mentioned when it's the risk outweighs the reward, and that was it for me. Once I ended my career, the last season, second year with the Ravens, I was on IR the whole year with a concussion. I just couldn't get back to my baseline, and that was still the case, a few years removed from playing, from retiring. And I realized, I mean, just as much work as it took to get me where I was, as a professional athlete, gladiator, even if you will, it was going to take that same type of mindset and work ethic to get me to a place where I still be the father I want to be, the husband I want to be, the son I want to be, the community leader I want to be. And so I saw a litany of doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, neurologists, speech language therapists, you name it, because I mean that's what it was going to take. It was, like I said, there's no substitute to, you have to put the work in, and it's what I did. So I say all that to say that obviously that was not my original plan.
Right.
So now, when I made the decision to transition back, and it gave me I guess a testimony. Like I said, there's no testimony without the test. And so with that being, I understood that, hey, it took a village. It really took a village to not only, like I said, raise me and to for me to experience the things I experienced, but all that same village was the same one that kind of pulled me out of my situation as well at the end of my career. And so, me and my wife, we realized that not all kids, have that kind of village, and right. Not all environments are built the same. And so, we just kind of, in our way, just paying it forward, way we feel like it's best is try to be that, village, and, those, that create those opportunities, tools, resources, experience, exposure, like I said, for, as many communities as we can in Prince George's County and the greater DMV.
Well, I know that it's very, very helpful. I mean, I know that you guys have helped a lot of young kids, and you've exposed them to a lot of things they would not have otherwise seen if not for your organizations. What are the name of your organizations? Let's let our listeners know.
The Evolve Foundation.
Evolve Foundation.
Yes, which is very, well, I mean, obviously the word in and of itself means, different things to different people as far, but, you think of evolve, evolution, and just, just always having to continuously, reinvent yourself.
Right.
It's something that I had to do personally. It definitely is very, that name is near and dear to me and my family.
Okay. Now they are, if my listeners want to help with their time or their funds, with their money, how can they do that? How can they reach you to be able to do that? Because, it's important. I mean, our youth is our future. And I say that all the time. So if we want to put our money where our mouths are or our time, how do we do that for you?
Yeah. I said, however, everybody else wants to jump in, get involved and pay it forward and, whatever way that, they know how best, whether that's activism, whether that's volunteering, whether that's donations. You can definitely check us out at www.theevolvefoundation.org. See all the great work we're doing, the different programs, initiatives we have going on. Throughout the county and in the DMV area. Follow us on social media as well, Instagram, at the Evolve. I think is that we're at the _ Evolve Foundation.
Okay.
Definitely check us out and follow us. Just like I said, one thing I think we like to say as a organization is that individually we can go fast, but together we can go far.
Awesome. There are two things though, before we roll up out of here, two things I want to tell you I'm most impressed with. The fact that you're an author. How the heck, what started the whole children's book thing? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's funny. I never envisioned myself being an author. I can tell you that. I can adamantly tell you that I never envisioned and never envisioned that. So at this point in my life, I've never said never to anything. It was something I just felt compelled, you know, when you you feel moved by a certain spirit. And for me, it's not about the medium. It's about the message, and the message within the book. You know, we call Piece It Together.
Right.
Personally, it's called Piece It Together, a children's book. And it, it kind of has a double entendre as far as connotation. And so the kids piece it together. Literally, it's something we do every day as far as working together, teamwork, you know, unity. And also they're literally using STEM toys to create these designs within the book and within the project itself, which is something me and my wife are firm advocates behind as well. STEAM, STEAM, you know, adding the A for agriculture as well as very, very beneficial and positive impact into the, your child's, our children's development and then learning, learning process. So the message we really was trying to get across was there. A few different things in terms of, like I said, teamwork, togetherness, unity, and a STEM and a focus within STEM.
Yeah, I mean, I read the book twice and I got something out of it. I'm like, hold up, I'm an old head and I'm learning a lesson. So that was impressive to me. The other thing that I'm really impressed about is your acting ability. Like, I went to see you on the silver screen at your debut. What was that all about? I mean, you were really good. And are you going to continue to try acting? Are you going to continue to do it?
Oh, man, you know, I'm going to cash after you for that. Yes, like I said, once again, I never say never. Never thought I would get into any of that as well. I had an opportunity, actually, right after the book, one of our sponsors was, Sunset Friday. Shout out Sunset Friday. Anthony Hackett, tremendous, movie producer, filmmaker. Right. And he's the sponsor behind the Piece It Together project. And he said, hey, man, I had this role. And I think they were looking at maybe Petey Pablo to play in the play originally, something like that.
Right.
But working title was High School Bully, which ended up getting changed to Hope Lives. But as you can imagine, it was a anti-bullying project. And so when I read the script, kind of read over my role, and I was like, man, I would be just honored to be a part of this, because once again, it's not about, the medium. It's about the message. And as far as just the new age we live in, where there's different just forms of bullying that a lot of even parents, may not be aware of. And so it's something great for kids, for parents alike to all kind of take a look at.
Right.
Different threads in there as far as forgiveness as well. Obviously, hope. So it was a great, great, great all around project, great experience. And you can find the movie on Amazon Prime, actually.
I got to be honest. I mean, I was shocked. The red carpet event was amazing. But when I saw on the screen, not only was it shot in, locally, and it was an independent film, but the acting was amazing. Like, and it wasn't like, it dipped when your role came on. I mean, you held your own. I was like, okay, Kyle, I see you, boy. You held your own, man. I was really happy for you. Really proud of you. So that's an amazing. You need to keep that going, honestly.
Yeah, no, I'm actually in talks as we speak right now to look at another faith-based project. If I failed to mention that, Hope Lives is a faith-based project. But one of the more grittier ones you would see.
It really was.
Yeah, more gritty, actual real life.
It was real life.
That you would experience. And so I'm actually in talks to be involved in another faith-based project. So we'll see. I guess I had to come back on the show and give you an update.
Yeah, let me know.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, brother, I really appreciate your time today, Kyle. Super Bowl champion Kyle Arrington. I really appreciate you. My listeners appreciate you. Keep doing the good things. And we'll be in touch, man. We're definitely going to try and get some help out there for the Evolve Foundation. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Brian, once again, pleasure's all mine. I appreciate you.
All right, man. You have a great Sunday, okay?
Thank you. Do the same.
All right, buddy. All right, just like I promised, it is that time. We're going to call the Petty. I know you hear the music, so let's call him up and see what he's got to say about how my Ravens took care of the Bucks. But actually, I think he picked the Ravens to win, but still. It feels good when they win, knowing how much, he dislikes the Ravens. So let's give him a call and see what the Petty's talking about today.
Brother B, good morning. How are you?
It is the Petty. Happy Sunday morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing just great, and congratulations on that great win with the city of Baltimore with your Ravens over those Buccaneers down in Tampa Thursday night.
That's what I'm talking about. I was quite happy. A little nervous, as I always am when they play, but I was quite happy about it.
They look pretty good handling those swashbucklers. But real quick, let me talk to you about this early game so that people can get on it right away. I'm talking about Denver and Jacksonville across the pond.
Who you got?
I like Jacksonville. Denver, they're looking a little shaky right now. Russell Wilson's not the guy he used to be. So let's take Jacksonville. And the thing about Jacksonville, they play over in London every year, and they are the home favorite in London. Take the Jaguars.
All right.
So let's start with the 1 o'clock slate. We have those Black Panther Carolina team going down to see the Dirty Birds in Atlanta. I like what I've seen from Atlanta pretty so far. So I like the Falcons at home over the Panthers.
All right. I got you.
Then we're going down to Big D, where the Bears, who looked pretty good last week against New England, going down to Big D to take them boys, the Cowboys. That might be a tough one, but I just got to go with the Cowboys. I don't like them. I like what I'm seeing in Justin Fields, but I'm going to say Dallas because of the home field advantage.
Justin Fields finally started running.
I'm seeing in that young man. I like what I see with him. But in this game, I like Dallas a little better.
Okay.
Next up, we have those Fish going out to Detroit to see those pesky Lions. I like that team, but they just can't seem to get it together. Miami's back with Tua playing, and they look like they're about to start firing on all cylinders again. Take the Dolphins over the Lions.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Now, here's one for you. You have those Redbirds from Arizona going to see the Norsemen in Minnesota. I'm talking about the Cardinals and the Vikings. Do you know that the Cardinals are 0-10 in Minnesota?
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
Well, guess what? Make it 0-11. Take the Vikings over the Cardinals.
I'm telling you, you're a Captain Kirk fan now. I'm telling you.
I always did like Star Trek. But anyway, let's talk about Vegas going down to New Orleans. The Saints and the Raiders. I don't know what's going on with that Saint team. You know, I thought they'd be better than what they are, and I'm not convinced that they can beat the Raiders today, so I want to take the Raiders over the Saints.
Okay, all right.
Here's one of my favorite teams, and they are up and coming, and they are looking good. I'm talking about those J-E-T-S, Jets, and they're playing the Patriots, a division rival. And throughout the years, New England has just dusted this team, grounded the Jets, beat them up, blew them up, whatever you want to call it. But this time, the tables will be turned, and I'm taking those Jets over the Patriots.
All right, I'll roll with you on that one.
And last but not least, on the 1 o'clock slate, we have the Battle of Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh travels to see those Pigeons in Philadelphia. I'm talking about those undefeated Eagles. And they made a big trade this week. They got Robert Quinn from the Bears. So that defense is getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, Philly will be 7-0. They are surprising a lot of people.
They will be 7-0. Take the Eagles over the Steelers.
Okay. All right.
On our 4 o'clock slate, we have the Titans traveling down to Houston to play the Texans, another division rival. And I like Houston. I'm not a big Tennessee fan, but I like Tennessee a little better than Houston today. Take the Titans over the Texans.
All right.
Next up, we have the Washington Commanders playing the Indianapolis Colts. And I knew it was coming. Matty Ice has been melted. He has been benched. He's not hurt. He's just not good anymore. Not to mention, the Man of Glass has also been benched because he's not good anymore.
Right.
So we have two young quarterbacks that look pretty good for both of those teams. But I like Washington better because I am a Heineke fan. So take the Commanders over the Colts.
All right.
Now, here's the one that's going to, you know, I'm going to save this one for last for the 4 o'clock slate. I'm going to jump over this game and go to the next 4 o'clock game. And I'm talking about those New York football Giants going to Seattle to play those sea chickens, the Seattle Seahawks. Okay. I like the Giants. Maybe they are for real. I like what I've seen in Geno Smith out of Seattle. Seattle does have that 12th man, but I think this is one of those days where the Giants will just rise up and beat Seattle and that 12th man.
Do you
take
think
the Giants?
I'm sorry, man. You said take the Giants?
take the Giants over the Seahawks.
Do you think the Seahawks were a better team with Russell Wilson? Do you think he should have stayed where he was?
Yes.
Okay.
Going to Denver was, well, I'm not going to say going to Denver was a mistake because he definitely got paid. Finally, on the 4 o'clock slate, we have those guys from the Golden Gate City going to play in their second home, and I'm talking about the 49ers and the Rams. Now, as you know, the 49ers have owned the Rams in the regular season. They are 7-0 against the Rams in the regular season.
Right.
Will that trend continue today? I think not. I'm taking the Rams over the 49ers.
Snap. Okay. All right. That's 2 weeks in a row you've been gone against your team.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I think the Rams are going to break that that regular season jinx, and they will just take care of the 49ers with no problems.
Okay.
And finally, on the Sunday night slate, we have the Cheeseheads going to see those Buffalo Hot Wild Wing Bills in Buffalo. Green Bay, this is a must win for them, but it ain't going to happen tonight. Take Buffalo over the Packers.
Wow. Okay.
And finally, the Monday night game at the Battle of OHIO, Ohio. Cincinnati travels to Cleveland to play those crusty Browns. To me, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to take the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
And that's pretty much what I have for you, Brother B. Am I forgetting something? Because I think I might. The Thursday night game. You know what? I really didn't look into the Thursday night game, but just because I like you, I'm going to look into it because it's kind of easy for me. We're going to look at those Pigeons going down to Houston. And there's a lot of things that's going on between Philadelphia and Houston. You got the Phillies playing the Astros in the World Series.
Right.
And then you got the Eagles going down there next Thursday to play the Texans. Will the Eagles be 8-0? This is a trap game. Houston might take it, but I think not. Take the Eagles next Thursday.
8-0,
against the Texans. 8-0. You're going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. They're going to be a Jalen Hurts believer. They're going to be a Pigeons, Philadelphia Eagles believer.
Wow.
Brother B, I wish I had more time, but my time is a little short today. I hope we covered everything. And, congratulations, give them that big one with the Ravens.
My man, I appreciate you, Patty.
One more thing.
Okay.
They better start paying. They better think about opening up their wallets and paying Lamar.
Yeah, I hear he's not very happy in the locker room, supposedly. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Brother B, love your show. Love the topics. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll catch you next week. I'm out of here. Peace.
All right, brother. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. From the Petty's mouth to us and our ears, his picks for today and for the upcoming Monday and Thursday night games. I agree with him. There's not one pick where I have a problem with what he's saying. And what I also agree with is what he said about them paying Lamar. They have got to pay this young man. Got to. From what I understand, according to Skip Bayless, Lamar is very unhappy. He's giving not 100% in practices, only in the games these days, which is unlike him. He used to give it 100% of the time. So they got to pay this young man. I mean, he has proven over and over again that he's worth the money, that he can stay healthy, that he is consistently effective in helping the Ravens win. And if they don't win, it's not necessarily on him. Even though he's the quarterback, he takes all the, you know, takes all the blame when things go wrong. He has done a consistently good job at making good decisions and keeping the offense in positions to win. It's been our defense that has let us down over and over and over again in the third and fourth quarters. So again, Ravens, pay this young man before we lose him. We cannot afford to lose him. All right, well, listen, thank you so much for joining me today. We have actually come to the end of the show. Another hour has passed us by, and I promise you, Sunday morning 9 to 10 is always the fastest hour of my life, but it's only because I love doing what I do and sharing things with you. Make sure that you share your feedback with me. Get at me on IG at On with Brian Pettaway. I look forward to reading all of your comments and messages. And there were definitely some things today that I think I'm going to get some feedback on. And I encourage it. I welcome it. So make sure I hear from you. I want to thank the Petty for coming on today, as he does every Sunday, and giving us his picks and being knowledgeable about the game. He always knows what's going on in the games, trades, all these kinds of things to help raise your handicap as far as your betting goes and putting some money in your pocket. And every week, I don't know if you've noticed, but every week he softens on the Ravens. I think he's coming over to the purple and black. He's bet on us 2 weeks in a row, and he is now betting against the San Francisco 49ers 2 weeks in a row. Hey, the proof is in the betting, so come on over. over. Come on over to the Purple and Black Side, my brother. We're waiting for you. We will welcome you with open arms. And of course, I want to thank my guest today, Kyle Arrington, for taking the time out of his busy schedule. And when I say busy, he does 1,000 different things. So for him to give me his time today, share with us his life story, and share some of the things that he does in life that not only helped him become a Super Bowl champion, but to also become a champion in life long after the NFL career had ended. And, you know, I thought they were secrets that he had, but they're not secrets. He said two things that I take away that are very important. He said hard work and belief in self are rarely, rarely ever defeated as a combination. Take that with you. It's not a secret. We all have it. We all are capable of hard work, and we all should believe in ourselves. And that is the message. Now, he also told us how to get a hold of his children's book, Piecing It Together. You can purchase it on Amazon, I believe he said, and also get involved on his website with the nonprofit Evolve Foundation, which is helping youth in the area, in particular with STEM. So these things are important. Please pay attention. I hope you enjoyed listening to him the way that I did. And please support the brother and his programs. He's doing amazing things in the DMV for our youth. And last but not least, I want to thank you. Thank you for giving me this hour on your Sunday. Time is precious, and I do not take for granted you giving it to me. It's very, very well appreciated. And I hope that you learned something today and that I entertained you for that hour. And again, any feedback, all feedback is welcome. I'm going to keep saying it. Hit me on IG, at On with Brian Pettaway. I welcome the feedback. It helps me grow. It helps me get better. It helps the show get better. So please, please let me know. Shoot me some comments. Other than that, I'm going to sound like Kyle Arrington right now, but I tell you this every week. The best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So tomorrow, after you relax today, get up, conquer the world. That is what my philosophy is. That's what I try to do every Monday morning to get it right and make it count this time. You know what I mean? So go ahead and do it. Have yourself a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the games. I am out of here. Peace.